This episode of The Instance is brought to you by DoghouseSystems.com. Have you seen the Blizzard machines? They're beautiful. Art by an actual Blizzard artist. The Horde side one is based on my hunter and cat, which is kind of cool. You'd never know. It just looks like a rad hunter and a super cool pet, but it's based on GURP. On the other side is, or the Alliance side, is this beautiful, gorgeous shot of an Alliance female doing her thing as a druid and shows her cat form. It's rad, super cool, and I recommend checking them out. The main reason you want to go to Doghouse Systems is they make the best gaming systems on the planet. Don't take my word for it. Go check them out at DoghouseSystems.com. That's /Blizzard for those Blizzard machines, and use the code Henry at checkout for double the memory. That's DoghouseSystems.com. Cho'Gall.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 398. That's right, two episodes away from 400, where we have nothing exciting planned. Not yet, anyway. I don't know. 400's a big deal, but I don't know. I don't know if I feel like doing anything special. Hey, we'll just sit here and do another show. Maybe that's all you'll get. What's going on, everyone? It's Friday, January 23rd, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Patrick Beja. I'm fine, man. I'm all right. How was your week? Yeah, it's been a week since we talked.
It has been. It was good. Yeah. It was good. I played some Mario, but different kinds of Marios on my Wii U.
So did and, I. That's crazy. I did the same.
That's incredible. Yeah. I've heard you managed to get your paws on a Wii U.
I did. It feels like the time to do it because there are a stable of games, albeit all Nintendo first party things, but if you like Nintendo games at all, this is a good time to own that thing.
It's so good.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. I have an argument to make that this is actually the best iteration of any Nintendo game yet. Mario 3D World is incredible. Mario Kart 8 is wonderful.
It's a high point for the series, which is unfortunate because it's a low point for hardware sales for them this generation. So it kind of sucks for them to not have the base to truly appreciate. Now, obviously, the faithful and the dyed in the wool and half the Blizzard people are really into these games, mainly talking about Corey Stockton here. But they're so into those games. And it's like I always say, some of the core gameplay influences in WoW, which I know seems like a weird idea, but like boss battles and raids owe a pretty strong homage to a really well-tuned, rule of threes final boss fight in a good Mario game. And there's nothing quite like it. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, I mean, honestly, game design owes a lot to Nintendo and, well, specifically to the Mario and Zelda series. Those are like the purest form of game design you can find. And each iteration, almost all of them, are incredible. And on this generation, at least the Mario games, they're just so pure. I mean, I enjoyed Galaxy as much as anyone else, but I would say that these ones are even more. It's like they don't need they don't need you to pay attention to them anymore. Like, it's not the needy 3D thing. It's not like, ooh, look at me, look at me, I'm doing this and that and that. It's just excellent gameplay that incorporates 3D and just innovation kind of within itself without needing to be too showy.
Think, by the way, that it's easy. Here's the funny thing.
Oh my, no.
It's really hard. You get toward the end of that stuff and you're like, oh, that was just a walk in the freaking park compared to where I'm at now. Like, serious challenge, hardcore level stuff. But I am compelled to 100% this thing. And I'm getting every damn star. I'm getting everything I can.
Really?
Oh,
you want it, like, for all the world?
Yep. Everything possible I'm going to get.
Wait, how far have you gone in the different worlds?
I am probably, well, do you know where the, so you finish the big final boss and then he just save all the little jarred up idiots and then he takes you to the big weirdo land up in the sky. That's where I'm at. I'm like four Bowser. Levels into that. Yeah, Bowser world. So
okay, all right. You realize, okay, I'm not going to say
it. No, I know. I played 3D Land on the 3DS. I realized that there's like a level. Like all of these things open up to like some kind of B level.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't even touched that yet, but I'm still going to 100% it.
Yeah. Okay. Just it's, you're in for a surprise.
All right. It turns into a Pokemon game at the end. Is that the surprise? That'll be fun.
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
Gotta catch
let's say there's more.
Okay.
Not, yeah.
There's more, not less. Well, that's what we like here on The Instance, the show about World of Warcraft and occasionally about Mario. Yeah.
So do you want to address the Cho'Gall thing that you sneaked into the intro?
Yeah, so I've got a longer version of that. Listen to this right here. Here's what's this?
Should we explain
Super
for
Mario?
No, don't read that. No, sorry, I had Mario on the brain. Here we go. It's this
for people who missed the previous show, should we explain? Or?
Okay, well, all right. So Patrick, you say that the way you say Cho'Gall is Cho'Gall, and I say, like you'd say Thrall or something like that, right? Like that's been the big controversy.
I say it's an open A more than an O like A.
Right, right. Well, so what you heard at the top of the show is just a piece of it. A listener actually sent this in. Here's the entire line.
Cho'Gall, we'll finish your Frostfire business together.
All right. So quest line taken ripped right from the game. Proof.
All right. All right. All right. I will admit that sounds like an O, Cho'Gall.
Yeah.
However, Justin Marcus, J Marcus 00, sent another portion of a speech thing.
Oh, no.
And here's what it is.
Okay.
Is this the work of that traitor, Cho'Gall?
That's more like a drunk slur, though, isn't it?
It is not. It is Cho'Gall. I think what that means is, first of all, did you think I was just going to lay down and just take it? Like,
no.
Oh, yeah, you're right, Scott. I give up. What do you think I am, French?
Did I think you had forgotten? Did I think you had forgiven? No, you're like the freaking, what's his name? Putris. You're pissed. I get it. I got you.
I think it's an accent thing in the sense that not that I have an accent. Shut up. I don't.
Yeah, none at
in
all.
The sense that the ogres and various, you know, the different inhabitants of Azeroth and Outland and Draenor pronounce it differently.
That's a good point.
So they have different accents as well.
Yeah.
So there
still,
you go.
Still we go by
Cho'Gall.
I think that's the one we really go by, though. That's the one. That
no, really, I really think that we go by
Traitor Cho'Gall.
So there you go.
All right. Fair enough. That's actually a pretty decent, you know, that I've swung to your side of the argument. All right.
Excellent.
I'm with you now.
And I'm not going to say that mine is Imperator Margok. So he's probably higher ranked than yours.
Yeah.
And why am I not going to say this? Because I know not to keep selling something that's already sold. So thank you for agreeing with me.
Thank you for spending the money. All right. Oh, by the way, I'm not sure where Dills is. He may pop in. Terpster is in the middle of some baby stuff, may show up a little later, but that's why it is the Patrick Scott show at the moment.
To be honest, no one really ever knows where Dills is.
No.
It's
sometimes sleeping in front of a deck of Hearthstone cards. Sometimes, who knows? Covered in actual magic cards. That's kind of his thing right now. Although he is killing it in our raid group as far as DPS, just owning the charts. Making everybody look bad. I don't know.
How old is he?
Who Dills?
Yes.
36, 7?
Oh, he's a child. That's why. He's very young.
He's just a
he has time to do all of his, you know, like DPS examination, optimization things. He doesn't have children or... Wait, I don't have
children.
He's
not playing around. I got like... So I'm about fifth. Sort of close to fifth last time we ran. I am always happy to be right around that range. I don't need to be number one, but I don't think that's good enough for Dills. I think he wants to take it to the limit. And he's also proving a point, which is if you work really hard in PvP in this expansion, you can be as well geared and ready to rock as just about anybody in the game. That's an interesting change this time around.
the way I choose to look at it is that if I progress one rank in whatever I'm doing, I'm really actually making someone else lose a rank and being mean to them. So I'm trying not to, just because I'm a kind person.
Because you're a kind-hearted person who would never argue about...
Chogall.
All right, great. Let's get into what...
Sorry. I thought I didn't quite understand what you meant, but then I understand you
the
said...
The work of that traitor Chogall.
So, okay, it makes sense now.
Good times. All right, let's do this. We do have some news this week, all brought to you by DoghouseSystems.com with their amazing new Blizzard systems. Go to DoghouseSystems.com/Blizzard. And as always, use the code Henry. That's the name of my tiger pet in the game. For those new to the show, that will save you a bunch of money because you'll get double the memory for using that code. That's Henry. And the machines are awesome. And I love my doghouse, and I just want to make out with it. I just upgraded my video card.
What did you get?
I got a 9. What's the new one? Not the Titan thing, but the one just below it. The 970?
980?
980? I just got it, and I already forgot. Yeah, 980. That's it. And it's sweet. Kicking trash, nothing can stand in its way. I was already doing good, but I just had this hankering to go like as high end as I kind of could, and I did. And of course, my doghouse welcomed the new video card with open slots. It just said, "Bring it in. It's not a problem. We're welcoming you here." So anyway, it's great. Go there, doghousesystems.com. All right. So I was really anxious to ask the other two guys. I know I talked to Dills earlier in the week during raid, and he hadn't gotten his yet, but. You didn't get one of these statues, did you?
No, I was using a 25-year card for 5 years. And also, actually, little-known fact about my dedication to WoW, I actually didn't start playing until like 6 months in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm a little bit ashamed to admit it. But so I played the beta, that's going to make me sound so dumb. I played the beta of WoW back in 2003 or something. Yeah. And then...
He means beta, by the way, everybody. He means beta. I'm sorry? I'm just clearing that up. I just want to make sure the listeners know you mean beta. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you mean... What is that? Oh, it's your pronunciation of beta.
I'm just continuing the trend. All right, go ahead.
So... And that I can't remember when it was anyway. And then I played EverQuest 2, and I had played EverQuest 1 back in the day. And so I had played WoW until like level 15 or something. And when I played EverQuest 2, I was like, well, this is a real MMO. You have like options and it's beautiful. And the way you play and like the other one is so arcadey and not fun. And WoW is never going to go anywhere because obviously EverQuest 2 is going to be the one to, you know, to play. Mm. And after like 4 or 5 months of EverQuest, bored out of my mind.
Yeah, you had to eat some crow there. That game, I remember you were part of that. There's a pretty heavy hardcore group of people that were only interested in seeing where EverQuest went, and anybody else that came along was a pretender to the throne. They'd scoff at things like,
well,
you know, what was that one that I played a ton of? I did play a lot of it.
Well, I didn't know you then, and I had changed my tune by, you know, 2005 when I started playing WoW and realized that, you know, the depth and gameplay quality that was in that game.
Mm-hmm. And the longevity, more importantly. It's not like EverQuest 2 didn't have some success or good things about it. There certainly were. It's just...
It was a very good game. I mean, I'm joking now, but EverQuest 2 was a very good game. It's just it was a much more demanding. It's funny to say now, but WoW, even when it first came out, was a lot less demanding, a lot less hardcore, quote unquote, of a game than EverQuest was back in the day. The quest system alone, despite what the name implies, EverQuest has, you know, a few quests in the beginning to help you get, you know, into the saddle, but then you would grind mobs forever. That's all you would do to get more XP. And some of the things you needed to do required you to wait for mob to spawn. Like if you think Pound Fist spawns not often enough, then wait until you have to get Chompers in the Enchanted Lands in EverQuest 2. And the mob, you can't tap it. Once, you know, your group taps it, the others cannot get it. So you would have people sitting by the pond for days, like at least hours, but literally days, waiting for chompers, that was a fish, to spawn, to kill, and then they would tap it and everyone else would not get it. It wasn't, anyway.
What is, what, tell me what a chomper did. Not that I really care that much, but was it a, what was the big deal?
Oh, it was just a mob you had to get for a quest.
Oh.
And there were so few quests that you really wanted to complete the ones you had.
Yeah.
There was also this something weaver, spell weaver, whatever, something. And you had to go into a dungeon. So the dungeons weren't instanced.
No.
So everyone would be competing for the same mobs. And it's not like they would spawn 5 minutes after they would leave, that you would kill them. They would spawn maybe, and there were placeholder mobs that you would have to kill and wait another 2 hours for something else to spawn, hoping that that would be the one you wanted. It was, you know, a different kind of fun, but a lot less accessible.
Yeah.
A lot less accessible.
Yeah, I would argue that there's a place for that. I just don't know that that exists anymore as a place in MMOs. Everyone complains that WoW is now the template for anyone else coming along to do an MMO, free-to-play or otherwise, but that's because that's really, really grindy and boring for a broad audience. If you want a broad audience, a lot of people, more than, say, 400,000 people, like whatever EverQuest had at its cap, or at its best, I should say, then you have to go broader appeal. And broader appeal is not camping mobs forever, not sure if it's a placeholder. Those things only come along every 5 hours. Like, you've got to build technologies that say you all can play and you can do something right now. You may, you know, we'll introduce elements like Pound Fist is going to be a huge pain in the ass. You're going to wait forever and it's not going to pop. And when it does, you might miss it because you're phased wrong or whatever. You're going to have those opportunities if you really want. But in the meantime, there are a billion things for you to go be doing it in our game. And that has proven over 10 years to be the victor,
yeah.
You know?
It's a difference of philosophy. Do you want to have a game that's arcadey and fun? Because not that EverQuest wasn't fun. It was a type of game that spawned from an intent to be as realistic, quote unquote, as possible, and very closely related to pen and paper role playing games. And that sort of naturally evolved into what they were doing with EverQuest and what they're trying with EverQuest next as well, which is having just the world be there and you sort of constructing your adventure and socializing and creating ties with the world and with the other players in a way that is a lot more difficult, but possibly more profound than it is in more arcadey games. More profound in the sense that there's more of a simulation and attachment to the story and the evolution of your character.
Mm-hmm.
In WoW, you're having fun with the gameplay, and that's actually one of the tenets of Blizzard's game design. It's gameplay first, right? That's
right.
The most important value that there is in the game design. But it is a different kind of intent, game design intent.
Yeah.
And certainly the arcadey portion is more accessible, more easy, as, you know, if you compare Coke and wine, for example. But it's not the same kind of enjoyment.
Yeah. Well, EverQuest, is it Next they're calling it?
Yeah, EverQuest Next.
That appears to have finally embraced the idea that they seem to fight against in 2 a little bit. And I'm kind of excited for those guys because there's some pretty rad stuff going on in there. And the world building stuff and destruction stuff is really neat. And even down to kind of the decision to go ahead and embrace a more stylistic look to everything means it will have longer legs. The problem with EQ2 is it looked great out of the gate, but about, I don't know, a year into that, you were like, everything's starting to look like a stiff mannequin in here. And about a year after that, it started to look really bad. Because when you go for realistic, it doesn't matter when you do it. 3 years later, something more realistic is going to make you look bad. So your choice to go, which seems so rogue at the time for WoW to go, we're going to go kind of cartoony, very stylistic. That decision turned out to be kind of a golden decision because it carried that style through in a 10-year-old engine up till today, which really just now got a facelift in terms of character art and stuff. But it lasted that long, looked good, not only looked good enough, but still impressed. You'd still walk into some zones and go, whoa, how are they doing this in an 8-year-old game or whatever? And you got to, I feel like that was such an argument back then that you have to give credit this on the other side and say, you know, that was a really wise decision. Whether they made that decision almost by accident, whether it was pure luck, or whether it was really smart design to say stylistic is the way. I know we're fighting against a tide of people saying the opposite, but this is the way we should go. I mean, somebody over there deserves credit for that, and I don't know who.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know that one of the reasons, at least one of the factors, I don't know if it's the only one, but power, like computational power, was one of the factors for that. They always want the game to be able to run on almost any machine. And obviously, the more realistic you go, the more powerful GPU and CPU you're going to need. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean you can't run it more beautifully with more powerful parts.
Right.
But
the more powerful your parts. Yeah, exactly. I know what you're saying. Sure. And it's cool. There's nothing wrong. I'm as much a cutting edge graphic dude as the next guy, but smart move on Blizzard's part, and it's carried them through and will continue to carry them through as we move forward. It's pretty funny though. I was looking at the minimum specs the other day in an old manual. WoW in 04 only needed 10 gigabytes of space and a Pentium 3 processor was all you had to have. We've come a long way, baby.
Yeah, I mean, for EverQuest 2 or any of those games, you needed something really, really, like, top-notch to be able to run it. Yep. It was horrible. I mean, I look at screenshots of Kainos now, the main city I was adventuring in, and it brings a lot of memories, but wow, it was super beautiful for the time and required a monster. Yeah. And it's not to say that WoW's style isn't beautiful. I mean, obviously the sceneries and it can be artistic and super pretty, which it is. And WoW continues to evolve, as you were saying. When you look at the initial requirements for WoW, they're completely ridiculous. The game has never stayed. A lot of people say, well, it's a 10-year-old game. It really isn't. It's a game that came out 10 years ago, but that has kept evolving and evolving on, you know, the game design and the graphical aspects. Every expansion, actually all the time, but mostly every expansion, it has gone up in all those respects. So it's really not the game it used to be.
No, they haven't sat still. It just feels like, it's not like they had to come out with a sequel, I guess is my point, which is usually what these games have to do, is have a sequel. And they haven't had to do that because they've just evolved with it. This one has a further draw distance. This one has better looking water. This one has more polygons per character. Like, they're just incrementally pumping that stuff in there, incrementally making it look better. So by the time you're into it and you're 10 years later, you hardly noticed. It was a natural transition. I know some people are like, wow, my computer sucked and it wouldn't run it at all after the third expansion and I had to buy a new one. Well, sure. I mean, you're going to have cases like that. But
No. No computer cannot run WoW. Yeah, of course, if you have like a 15-year-old calculator, sure. Yeah. But if you reduce all the details to the minimum, I'm...
You think that Pentium 3 would still run it? I doubt it.
I'm sorry?
I don't think that Pentium 3 would still run it. Do you think?
Okay, maybe not a Pentium 3, but when did the Pentium 3 come out?
Well, all I'm saying is, if you took the minimum specs in the 04 manual for WoW and then applied that today, there's no way those minimum specs would still chug it out. And you're right,
Pentium
most people are going to have.
Pentium 3 came out in early 1999. So yes, that would not run WoW. I agree.
All right, fair enough. All right. Anyway, so that's, what was the whole point? Oh, I didn't get a statue. That's where I was getting at with this.
Me neither.
We don't know if Patrick did, or we don't know if Terpster did, although I don't know. He's got weird connections over there. And I know Dills didn't, because he didn't join the game till much later as well. I found out why I'm out, though. It wasn't just the 25-year card I used for a year. It was apparently in 05, or let's see, 06 maybe, there was 3 months showing that I didn't have a paid subscription. And I know I've had a current subscription the entire time. That may have been a time gift or I don't know what, but because it says that, I was out of the running. So there's this 90 days of no game time and I never got it. So I'm super sad, but whatever, man. It's listen, the true faithful who kept their account up every day, who looked at it, made sure they didn't have any lapses. You deserve the statues. And that's why you have one now. We hope you enjoy
them. I'd be very curious to know how many people that is.
If I had to guess, I have no way to know this, okay? Because no one would tell us this. But if I had to guess, it's probably, if you figure the first, 2 months were about 2 million people or something that signed up.
No, it was 1 million.
It says 1 million. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because they wanted 1 million a year, but then in a couple of months, they were already at that goal. That's what it was. So let's say 1 million people. Assuming this starts from the very beginning, that narrows it down to probably 300,000 people or something. And of those who have stayed true the entire time, I'll bet maybe it's 10,000 people. That's just a guess. That doesn't mean they don't. I mean, they have 10 million people now, so it's not like they haven't done well since. But you know, it takes.
Have they
a while
done it in Europe as well? That gift thing.
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know if this is U.S. only or not. Didn't even occur to me.
It launched in Europe in February 2005.
Mm. So you have another year.
Maybe no.
Oh, no, you have a month. I guess you have less than a month.
Yes.
Yeah,
so maybe it will happen. Yeah, but if we're talking US only, my estimation would be roughly about, I have no idea.
And they don't count my friends and family alpha time or my beta time. That I did find out. That does not get counted. So that would have made up for my 3 months. Of course, that wasn't paid time. I don't know. I'm just sad. A little sad. All right, let's talk about patch 6.1. Got some news this week about iron horde scraps. You're going to now get to melt these down. This is exciting for me because I have a reason to do it. Soon there'll be finally a use for these stupid things that you've been collecting over this time. The war mill will allow you to do scrap meltdown. This turns into weapon enhancement tokens or armor enhancement tokens. These are for, I assume, both you and your followers, because you can do, you can get one of each, right? Can't you? Can't you make your own?
No.
I thought you could do your own armor and weapon buff stuff. No?
The weapon enhancements are just for the followers, no. I'm fairly sure.
Well, then maybe that's still the case. I don't know why I had that in my head. Yeah, I guess you can't make your own. What would you? Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Well, some professions allow you to increase the eye level of an item you created with that profession. Yeah. I'm wondering. Oh, actually, maybe you're right.
I don't know. Because does this?
Where is Dills when we need him?
Well, doesn't this mess with like belt buckle makers and freaking, you know?
No, but I think in this case, the weapon enhancement tokens and armor enhancement tokens, I think they're only for followers.
That makes sense.
But don't quote me on that.
That's what the screenshots look like from the PTR. So you're probably right. So there's that. Hey, we got a call. And it's all about scaling. And it's interesting. Check it out.
This is Focus Eye, the Brewmaster Tank. You guys were talking about questing and alternate ways to level, such as doing dungeons over and over. There's always been a problem where you'll run the same one or two dungeons over and over until you level to the next set of one or two dungeons. Now that scaling is an option in the game, what do you guys think about bringing back old dungeons as a separate queue, maybe for a random, I don't know, any dungeon that you've done in the game, scaled to whatever level you are? Just an option. Love the show. Thank you, and have a great day.
I think it's more complicated than that. They'd have to tune all that old content for current builds and current everything. I mean, there's so much has changed in those games. So I don't think you can just simply say, all right, make, I don't know, whatever the old one is, make it attuned to a level 100 group of 25 people. I don't think it's as simple as that. There's a reason why they piecemeal that to us. They gave us Onyxia again. They gave us Naxxramas again. And this time around, they gave us Molten Core. And when they did all three of those things, those were prepared. I mean, Molten Core is probably the easiest of the three, is my guess, but they were prepared for the current day play model, character type, changes taken into account, all of that tuning that has to happen. They had to kind of craft those things to be remakes in that way. They didn't just simply say, all right, everything's level, in the case of Naxxramas, everything's 70 or 80, and off you go. It doesn't work that way. So that's my guess. I could be wrong, but if I were to guess or ask one of those devs, they would roll their eyes and go, yeah, it's not as simple as just crank everything up.
Yeah, that's sort of a golden rule. It's never as simple as we think it is. But I have a problem with the question. Is it for level, you know, max level progression, or is it leveling during the leveling process?
Oh, good point. He seemed to be arguing for the leveling process.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if it's max level, then I think we have a decent variety of dungeons. So I don't think that's what he means. He was talking about leveling from, you know, doing the same dungeon over and over, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So in that case, it doesn't matter as much if not everything is super finely tuned. If you're for most of the leveling process until, you know, maybe even arguably with until the last expansion, the current expansion, most of the leveling process is very almost trivial, meaning you do dungeons, there is very little chance for you to fail at doing the dungeon.
Yeah.
So you could, in theory, ear on the easy side and scale a ton of things for you to do. I'm not sure what purpose it would serve. The only purpose it would serve would be for you not to have to repeat doing a dungeon over and over again for leveling purposes, if that's what you want to do, and usually if this is your second or third alt that you're leveling, because usually when you do your first one, most people will probably be doing questing.
Yeah.
So the negative effects, however, are that if you have every single dungeon that you have to, you know, that you have available for you for leveling from 80 to 90 to 100, I think it sort of dilutes the experience. It makes it less focused, less the mood, the background that is created is less important. And it becomes even more of a mechanical thing. You have to go through dungeons and bosses to raise your level. And that, I think, would have an adverse effect on the way, it's not the first effect, but the after effect kind of is adverse in the way, the cohesiveness of the game. So I'm not sure how good it would be ultimately. It would be good for some people, for a specific subset of the population, those who are doing dungeons to level a character and who just want to get very quickly to max level.
Yeah. I mean, if you're running Wailing Caverns, if you run Wailing Caverns when you were at level to do it, and then could, in theory, just run Wailing Caverns to 100, I don't know that. I mean, obviously, you'd have more variety than this because it wouldn't just be Wailing Caverns. You could decide whatever ones you wanted to keep redoing. But I don't know. I suppose if
it wasn't, it doesn't mean anything that whatever dungeon is at whatever level or whatever zone or
sure,
you know, it's everything just becomes a gigantic blur of different dungeons, and you would have like, what is it, 40, 50 different dungeons that you can do, and you go through one, and they all have to be even more simple than they would be, no specific mechanics, because you're not going to learn all of them, or not everyone is anyway. So
I agree with you. This is kind of a third alt solution.
Isn't it?
Yeah, first guy would quest, second guy wants to do dungeon progression, because there's story and questing and stuff tied with that. And I think there's an interesting progression through the entire game through dungeon running. But then you get to three, or alt number three, and he just may want to go, let's just do whatever and grind it out. And I feel like doing this one six times in a row, but now I just feel like jumping into this giant random pool. And it also would include, let's say it included the level 70 to 80 dungeons, but you could add a 20 or 30, run those, because they're scaled down and the others are scaled up, and just have this giant pool. Essentially what it does is just gives you a bigger pool of random things that would pop up. When you went on a random.
Yeah. So to his point, I think it would be good to have more than one dungeon that you run over and over again. That I agree. When you're leveling, if you're doing that third alt, sometimes it gets a little bit annoying. I remember in Mists, you only had one. In this one, you only have one as well, appropriate for your level, maybe two. And running it over and over again, at some levels, you only had one that you could do. That is a little bit annoying. So maybe the solution, a better solution, would have to scale down or to modify some of those heroics only dungeons meaning the level 100 only dungeons, and sprinkle them somewhere in the leveling process. I feel that would be a better solution, but I also suspect that if they're not doing it, if there are some dungeons they're designing for level 100 only, it means that there isn't a huge need for that. It's not a problem for a lot of people, and the resources are better spent elsewhere.
Agreed. They got a sweet new, in other news, sweet new breakdown of Black Rock Foundry on the official site. I'm actually really excited about this content. I think the bosses look interesting. I'm very excited to take on Orgorger. Freaking Orgorger, who looks like a big frog. Pretty excited about that guy. Anyway, it is the most iron hoardy looking content in the game, and as is a nice change, I think, from Maul, because we've been there so much that we've seen. I don't know. We that thing's outdoorsy and kind of, you know, obviously it's two-headed ogre-y, everything is, and it's just that kind of that look and that motif is fine. But for me, what I'm really interested in is getting into the grimy, gritty, fiery, awful space that is Black Rock Foundry, and finally getting a chance to, you know, to fight Black Hand, and he's a bastard, and he's one of the coolest looking bosses in the game, period, and, you know, all that stuff's very exciting. Anyway, it's all broken down real nice on the site if you guys want to go take a look.
Definitely feels like the you know, Heimal was kind of like the prelude or the training wheels or whatever, and this feels like a little bit more of the real deal. Now is when it starts, kind of.
Yeah, not unlike other expansions. I mean, Pandaria, the stuff you did on that island was cool, and all that stuff was neat, but it didn't... I mean, Siege of Orgrimmar is a very different place than what you did over there with the... What was his name? Lightning Lord McGee. I can't remember his name. That was his name. Of course, that was his name. It's been too long. But anyway...
And the model for Blackhand is really, really pretty.
It's so badass. He's so cool. Even just in the game cinematics, when you run into him and that whole fight at the dock is... just makes me almost... part of me kind of wishes he was in charge of everything, because I just think he is a badass. I mean, just look at that guy. I just blew him up, and now I'm even more excited. I may even have strange feelings for him as a boss. Anyway, this the official WoW site has a really good breakdown, so go check that out. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. Did you know you can copy your garrison over to the PTR? What? It's true. It's true. They want you to do this too, so if you... this is funny, because when I was thinking earlier in the year, oh yeah, when they get around to letting people on PTRs and testing this new content, what do you do with a garrison? Like, I know you can copy your character over, but I assume that's too big of a deal. Nope, you can totally copy it. It's not a problem. They're going to push some code out on, 6.0.3, and it will involve a garrison copier. So not unlike your character, you'll copy your entire garrison, all of its progress, all of its followers, everything.
I'm not sure why that would be such a big deal.
Well, it's just to test new content,
that's
right?
Associated with your account.
Well, but I mean, as far as the hardness of it, probably not. But the value is strong, right? Because they're introducing a ton of new stuff. So you know, why not let people test it in full? None of this I ever do, because I want to see it when it's live, and I'm not. I'm a terrible tester, let's put it that way. So I don't usually do the PTR thing. Occasionally there'd be some reward involved with that, like with the Diablo one, I think there was something that you got, but I don't. I usually don't like to do this, because I'd rather just get it when it's live and you know, gulp that content as I get it. But anyway, you can do it if you want to do it, and they have instructions in full, and a link we'll put in the show notes on the official forums, and it looks to be a piece of cake. And people are already doing it, so there you go. We had another call about the idea of a fourth spec. Ooh, this comes up occasionally. Here you go.
This is Zeus, the Hyjal Blood Tank, and I was just calling to get your guys' opinion on fourth specs. Obviously, Druids have Balance, Warriors have Vlad. I was just wondering what other classes you would like to see a fourth spec for. Some of the ones I am looking forward to or hope would happen are Warlock Tanks, Rogue Tanks, Shaman Tanks, and maybe a Healing Mage. Anyway, love the show. Let me know what you guys think.
Usually this argument comes up because people want to be able to have better queue times for things, so they want to be able to be an alternate Hunter Tank or something, so that they can get into queues. And I think what people forget is if everyone can be a hunter or everyone can be a tank, that has repercussions that you're not thinking of. And it also just makes everyone so homogenous that everyone can do everything. It keeps coming up on the show every year. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I just don't think Blizzard's shown any indication that they want to move away from the core trinity they have now, healer, DPS, and tank. And I don't see them introducing a fourth spec that just simply says, well, now you can all heal and tank if you want to go crazy. I'm not saying it'd even be a bad thing. That might be great. It might give me, you know, I might have to wear other gear again. Because all we have is bows now, but yeah, I don't know. Where's your head at with the idea that a fourth spec could come that would make you, you know, extend your abilities to other areas in the game?
Well, there are really two different questions again in this. Whether, you know, a fourth spec for everyone could bring fun, like a different kind of gameplay to each class that would be fun in and of itself. That is something, you know, that I think everyone at some point has thought about.
Sure.
But you also have to find something original that doesn't become too similar, doesn't make your class become too similar to another class. And that's a real challenge. Already, if you think of it, we have, 11, 10 classes? How many classes do we have? 11.
11. Yeah.
Monks, so 11 monks, times wait, 3, wait, that's monks, really 33 monks, different.
Yeah, monks made it 11, classes, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so almost 33 different classes, almost, arguably, you know, but like there are many games where a fire mage and an ice mage could have been two different classes. Mm-hmm. So it's possible, I'm sure it is, but it is a challenge to keep it really fun and interesting. And you always have the option, if you want a different kind of gameplay, to go and play another class instead of pining for a fourth spec in your class. So that's one element of it, I think. I'm not, you know, I would love, if it was possible in theory to create an additional spec for every single class and keep it different and interesting, yes, I want this. I just think it's a lot more challenging than just doing that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is a way to address the imbalance in character roles in the game. And for that, as for every other thing in the world, with Blizzard, when we look at a problem, we look at it and think about the easy solution. So we look at the composition of the game and the rates, you know, the amounts of tanks and healers and DPSs, and we think there aren't enough tanks, so let's put in more tanks in the game. That's the way a normal person thinks, right? And it makes complete sense.
Sure.
The way Blizzard thinks is they think, well, so first of all, it's probably the reason there aren't enough tanks is not because there aren't enough tank roles in the game. It's because apparently, because they've already tried different things, it's probably because people don't always want to play tanks that are more, you know, they have to have more responsibility. They're more of an intense role than the other classes, than the other roles. And so even if we add a ton of tanks, maybe it's not going to fix it. It's probably not going to fix it because we've kept adding tanks forever and it still hasn't fixed it.
Yeah.
So let's go another route. And for the dungeons where this is a real problem, let's look at a way to change that ratio. And they come up with the idea that they mentioned in passing a couple of months ago, saying, well, maybe we could have a system where the group has one tank, one healer, and four DPSs instead of three, which is an idea they floated sometime, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
A couple of months ago.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, that issue of lack of tanks can be addressed a different way than with specs to give tanking capabilities for everyone.
Yeah.
And that is where Blizzard makes games that are, you know, I don't want to say designed in a more clever manner. It's because they approach these problems not with the obvious solution for the symptom, but they go at the root of the issue and change that. So maybe that will happen at some point and solve our tank problem, which I'm not sure adding more tanks to the game would.
Yeah, and it may be a problem that's never truly solved, but little tweaks here and there will perhaps encourage more people to take up the mantle of tank, if that makes sense. Start tanking their fears of being a tank.
It's a delicate balance, too, because you... If you had too many tanks, then maybe there's not going to be enough healers at some point.
Sure.
Or, you know, I play a healer. Sometimes I have that issue too. But
yeah,
you know.
And incentivizing tanks is always a hard thing too, because you don't also want to give them too much or make them so fun that other classes who really don't want to tank at a fundamental level start to feel like they're getting short shrift just because they're not a tank. So their classes are not being rewarded or given new things to do simply because they don't want that role of tank. And somebody who tanks is getting all of this, you know, lavished with all of these encouragements. So it's a real, I'm sure it's a way, like you said earlier, it's a huge balance that we don't understand. There's more to it.
I mean, the problem is even deeper than that. If you incentivize tanking too much and you get rewards or whatever for tanks to tank, And try to solve the problem that way, I would argue you are encouraging people to play something they don't want to play. If they're not already playing that role, it means they're not enjoying it. So if you incentivize it too much, it makes it has a negative effect on the game on the long term, because people are going to go tank for the reward and have a bad time and maybe not enjoy the game as much.
Yeah, I agree with that. Some crazy person got 100 characters to level 100 each. I didn't even think it was possible to do this. What is the character cap? I thought it was lower than this. Like I thought so too.
Maybe it's not.
Well, it has to be, because I only have, I have like 25 characters or something, and it told me I can't make more.
Maybe he has multiple accounts.
Oh, good point. I hadn't thought about that.
In which case, yeah. I would argue, good effort. But when are we going to see 100 level 100s on 100 accounts? That's, you know,
you're so easily unimpressed. This just doesn't do it for you. You've got to go to that next level. I'm with you. That's a fine idea. Mm-hmm. So he
100 level 100.
Here
that's
it is.
Insane.
Yeah, he's got a bunch.
Multiboxing. He must be multiboxing.
He is. And I'm reading some of this and he totally is. The problem is this guy, he posted this on the forums. He writes in giant paragraphs, which is, I think, a generational problem. But anyway, it's hard to kind of get through. But it is interesting if you want to read about it. A guy named Watola on the official forums broke down his process to get all 100 to 100. Most of the replies are go out and enjoy the day and get some sunlight, because my gosh, what's the point? I would say, hey, good power to you. For whatever reason, you've got the time, resources, and whatever, gumption, to do this. Who am I to judge? I say go ahead, whatever. It's got to be some kind of record. Nobody else has that many, or if they do, we don't know about them. I couldn't do it. It's definitely not my world. That I know for sure.
Yeah, there are some people that create their own kind of fun. So first of all, it's not giant paragraphs. It's reasonably sized.
It's all right. Some of them are huge. Look at those first three there alone.
They're not okay. Whatever.
If I was an English teacher and I was teaching any kind of English class, he'd get at least a C minus.
It would be the end of the world. That's what it would be. But yeah, people create their own fun in the game. I mean, there's, what is it, Pacifier who got to level 100 without killing anyone.
Yeah, the monk or something.
There was the...
Whatever it was.
The,
I can't remember.
Yeah, the Pandaren that got to level 100 without choosing a faction.
Yeah.
Or 90, rather.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's cool. It's fun. Yeah. It's for the challenge.
Yeah, do what you got to do. We're not going to judge you for this. Some people in the thread are totally judging him, but I would judge them for judging him. Take that. Judge Inception is what that is. All right, patch 6.1 also has something cool coming, which is really weird. I think yet another handout to players who are pissed about not being able to fly all the time. They have got now coming early stops on flight paths. So you have set a flight path to, I don't know, Spires of Iraq, and you're like, all right, oh shoot, I really need to stop off at whatever I need to do. Drop me at the next stop. It's basically yanking a cord in a bus. and your bird will stop at the next available stop, whatever that may be on the path. Now, normally you just hear this kind of thing, go, oh, that's a cool thing, but whatever, and you get past it. But I really do feel like they are just keep, instead of directly saying that there'll ever be any flying, and which I know we've said we're not going to talk about it anymore on this show, but instead of addressing whether there will ever be flying in Draenor, they have instead just started to stick little things in there. You get that weird quest feather thing that'll shoot you way up in the sky. That's basically flying. Or you got the glider. Hey,
I was already there.
I was, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they've got these little things that just sort of just are the underpinnings of sort of letting you have more choices with your flying without giving you flying back. And again, I just want to state for the record, I am fine with Warlords and that entire zone never having, or that set of zones never having flying. I'm fine with it. I don't have a problem with it, and I'll never have a problem with it. My bigger issue is this question. You sell flying mounts on the store, and you give us flying mounts as things to acquire, even in this content, as, you know, achievement stuff or whatever. You're going to grind out and buy and purchase and currency these different flying mounts, all of which can be on the ground. I understand that now, but that's weird to me that you want to incentivize me in some cases with real money, $25 of my real money, to get flying mounts when I have very little use for them at all in the game because I'm spending most of my time in the current content, which happens to be in Warlords of Draenor. So that's the only real problem I have with any of this. After all, you know, this year of people complaining about flight. And I don't know where your head's at, but to me, it's just, it's weird.
My head is in a place where, in a rare exercise in restraint, I am not going to comment on this again.
Ah, because we promised. I know. We did promise, didn't we?
Not only because we promised, but because I've said what I thought about all of this a million times.
Yeah.
And yeah. So there you go.
All right. Fair
enough.
That's
what I think.
Fair enough. I will just say this final thing. I think the early stop, this is just referring to the early stops. I think the early stops on your flight path is a good idea. I think that's fine. I think it's something we could use a long time ago. And
even without anything to do with flying or not flying.
Yeah, forget about all that. Yeah, forget that. Here's an idea, though.
Hey, Scott, Dills, Terpster, and Patrick. This is McTotem, Draenei Shaman from the Mataran server. Just wondering what you guys thought about temporary titles, a title that only lasts until the next raid tent content comes out.
Okay, the idea being I got a title in Heimal, and it's a, you know, whatever it is, double header or something like that. And then the next one comes out and that goes away for the next thing. In other words, it's a temporary thing and therefore you are more driven to get it because you're not going to be able to keep it. It's a bigger badge of honor. Now, you have no way of saying you once had it, or maybe there's another way to do that. I don't know how you do that, but it's an interesting idea, you know, temporary badges of honor that you can only get the one time, and then your friends have to gawk in awe that you got it, and then it goes away. Bad idea? Good idea?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, McTotem, first of all, it seems like a delicious Native American specialty for McDonald's. So I'm all up for that. Yeah. It sounds great.
Yeah.
So the problem is with a title, the thing is you sort of wanted to mark the occasion for all eternity. If it's a title that you earn for a couple of months, what is, maybe he's saying that you want it to only last for a moment because then other people with better gear can do the same instance and it doesn't mean as much.
Yeah.
Is that the idea?
I think that's the idea because it does. Yeah. It does take it away as a meaningful thing if you can't keep it, but it also makes it more meaningful in the short term because it's a thing you can't keep. Do you know what I mean?
But why? Yeah, I'm not feeling it. There's something I'm missing there.
Yeah, part of it is okay. Let's look at the cloak from the last expansion. That cloak was meaningful because for two reasons. One, you could earn it.
There's a difference between being able to get it only during a certain period of time and that thing going away after.
I completely agree. And that's what I was going to say. If at the end of this whole cloak quest chain, What he's basically arguing for is this, maybe a different level of difficulty or time spent, but he's arguing for this idea that you could, let's use the cloak as the example, you could go and earn the cloak, you've now got the cloak, you have its benefits, but then eventually getting the cloak goes away, and therefore your cloak goes away. That would have been a horrible mistake on Blizzard's part. Nobody would have been interested in that because it's a thing you want to earn and keep. My feeling is probably the motivation to have a title only temporarily is not great enough. I think people would want to have it forever.
I mean, at least for the cloak, you would have had enjoyed the benefits of that item for the time in the game. The title, the purpose of a title is really just to prance around and saying that you've gotten it. So I agree with you. If that goes away, and that's the only benefit, and it goes away down the line, then there's no motivation to get it in the first place.
Elder Scrolls Online has dropped subscriptions, or they will. This is of interest if you are following the MMO market at all. They were yet again another pay per month sort of pretender to the WoW throne that sort of came, had a big splash early, and then kind of died out, as they often do. Basically waiting for, oh, what's the other one?
Oh, crap. Star, what is it? I played it. Hold on. It's
Star Wars?
No, that one, yeah, but what's the other? What's the newer one? Ah, oh, crap.
Shite.
Really not sure what you're referring to. It's an MMO?
The MMO that's out, it came out last year. Jeez. Anyway, they're moving to the Guild Wars 2 model.
Oh,
yes, Wildstar. Wildstar. Thank you, ISO. I don't know why it wasn't hitting me. Anyway.
Well, there's Eve, too.
Yeah, there's Eve, but Eve's got their crap worked out. They're in no rush to do anything. They've been out before WoW. They came out in 03, for heaven's sakes. They're fine. They're just doing their thing. But Wildstar is what I was thinking. Anyway, Elder Scrolls is moving to this buy the game and potentially its expansions, but no monthly fee. It's the Guild Wars 2 model. And I'm actually kind of excited about that because I will play an MMO outside the WoW sphere if I don't have to pay monthly for it. Like, I've got my monthly MMO. It's called World of Warcraft. You might have heard of it. Everything else, I don't want to have two of those. I want to have other MMO experiences. I want to see what other developers are doing. I want to see those worlds. I just don't want to pay $30 a month for two MMOs. So if you'll let me buy that outright and just play it when I want to, I'm kind of back in. It's not truly free to play, which is interesting, but that's okay. It's worked for Guild Wars 2. I think they're doing all right.
Yeah, it's pay to play. The youngins call it now.
Yeah. Is that what the kids say?
You have to buy the box.
Okay. Hmm? I was going to say, is that what the kids say now? The kids?
Yes, it is.
We're really in tune with what the kids are saying. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, that's happening June or March, something, whatever.
It is super significant for the MMO market. There is WildStar. Is it not free to play yet, WildStar?
Nope. Shocking, right? It'll change.
It's coming. It is surprising, but it will come too. The thing is, it's sort of the second to last nail in the coffin of the idea of a subscription-based game. Everyone has tried, and the only one that works is WoW. First because it's a great game, and second because it already has the community. But it's probably there aren't any more. The gold rush has ended. No one is trying to get into that market anymore. Partially because the free-to-play market is now the thing to be in. And also because people have realized it's not that there isn't room for two subscription-based MMOs. There is, if you're happy to have a relatively small community. But what those developers or publishers rather were going after when trying to build their MMOs was the gigantic community and player base of WoW.
Yeah.
And if you can't get that, then I don't think there's much of an incentive for those types of enormous publishers and projects to be initiated. So I don't think we're going to see anything like that anytime soon again. There might be something else, but that traditional subscription-based MMO model, I think, is dead in the sense that there can be only one, and that's WoW.
Well, I agree 100%. I don't think anybody else is going to pull that off again. And I also think that WoW, I mean, when WoW started, that was the market. There was no other way. It was subscription or no MMO, really. They are going to have to, at some point, though, at Blizzard, to throw this back in their lap a little bit. I don't know when this is, but there's an entire generation of kids who you want to attract to your game experiences who are used to playing League of Legends now and Minecraft and a million other things where they are not paying monthly for anything, including other MMOs. If you want to draw them into your venerable franchise called World of Warcraft, at some point that's going to have to change. And we've always talked about, when does WoW go free to play? WoW goes free to play when a generation of gamers have no idea who you are because you have a weird adult paywall in front of it that they don't understand. And at some point that comes to bear, you know?
There's a ton of ways of doing things to get more people into the game before you go free to play. I'm sure, for example, one option, I don't know if it would work, but one option would be to get everyone in until the last expansion. Like, you don't get the last expansion thing, but you get everything before that. For example, arguably, you know, maybe it wouldn't work because then people would spend their whole life playing Mists and they would be happy with that. But I don't think so. But, you know, that would be an option. There are tons of different ways of doing it. For, as we were saying a few times in the previous episodes, for WoW to go free to play, they would need to be making less money than they would be making going free to play. And since the game is also not designed to be free to play, that can be retrofitted into it. But mm-hmm. I think it's a very long time. Their subscription numbers would have to dip well below the 1 million for it to be interesting for them to be.
Yeah, it's nowhere near where they would have to make this decision. That much is clear. I just think at some future point, and they'll be ahead of the curve. I'm not worried about them. They'll figure it out. It's like all these other questions we've been asking today. They'll figure out a way to do it. It probably will be a little bit different or a lot different than we think they'll do it. Like, all of those things are true. I just think at some point the market has shown that it's just a different thing. Like, I talked to my son's friends and they're like, World of Warcraft, who plays that? I can't get that. No one's going to get me a subscription to that. Like, there are less young people playing that game and they are spending their time in League and Dota. And
you can play WoW until level 20 for free.
Yeah, that's true. And now the veterans can come back and do similar things. So
yeah,
like I say, though, those are all steps in that direction. And that's probably what they'll keep doing, is little incremental steps. It's like the engine itself. It'll just slowly evolve into a thing that your average 13-year-old can jump into more. And
he'll certainly want to. The idea of paying, you know, $12-$13 a month to play a game, even, you know, if you put out the idea today, we're all doing it because we're used to doing it and that's just an established thing. But think of anything else that would tell you, well, in order to play my game, you have to pay me $12 a month on top of the box you just bought. You'd be like, you're insane.
Yeah.
It does sound
crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Today it sounds insane.
It sounds insane right now. I don't know. I just, it's an interesting transition. Somebody tweeted to me yesterday or the other day and said, MOBAs are that is this decade's MMO. That is the new hotness for 10 years. And that MMOs, that MOBAs are, any MOBA, like,
oh.
you know.
The oh, whole, they've been for a while.
They have been, but they are really, really owning it now. They're really kind
really,
of.
Really,
really? Really, really. You may have heard that phrase on the show a few times. Anyway, we'll see. We'll have to watch. Also, quick note that lots of DPS dummies have been killing people. Like, practice dummies in the cities have been murdering people. Blizzard is aware and a fix is incoming. But I think it's the greatest thing ever that
have suffered under the iron fist of our tyranny for too long.
Yeah. How many arrows dummies, must they take?
It's high time that they rise up and bring down their overlords and restore a little bit of justice in this unjust world of Azeroth.
I agree.
Go dummies.
I agree. How many ice shards and arrows are you going to have to take before you stand up and live? All right. Anyway, watch for that. That's coming soon. We have one final phone call, and it's about garrisons. Here you go.
This is Rain from the server Sentinels. And the question that I just wanted to ask you guys and get your opinions on was what you guys thought about a group garrison or maybe even a guild garrison. Put a little bit of thought into it. Focus on like group questing, having a combined interest, kind of like a guild hall, I guess you could call it. That can show your guild achievements visually, and if you were to down like the Imperator or another raid boss, that a statue or maybe the head of that boss would be held up in your guild garrison. So I just wanted your thoughts and opinions on it, and just where it could be, I guess, implemented into the game.
Okay, he's basically making another argument for guild halls, and what he's the suggestion he's or the ideas he's putting in there as far as what it would do for people. Isn't that what a city's for? I mean, that's already kind of a thing, right? Like,
no,
go to Warspear, go back to Orgrimmar or whatever.
No, the cities aren't customized to your guild, and they don't feel like your own thing. But the thing is, garrisons already are kind of all of that, so it would require... There are a ton of problems with that idea. It would be kind of cool, but then you... kind of isolate your guild, because if you have to put a bunch of stuff in that guild hole or guild garrison, and then people would start hanging out just there. Mm-hmm. Already people are spending a lot of time in their garrisons, I guess, which I guess you could argue is not cool.
Well, you're bringing friends over. The game. We've had people, like, we'll run 25-man content one night, and then the leader will say, hey, everyone teleport to my garrison, and we'll all go hang out in his garrison. If all he's looking for is a place to hang out, I think that's done.
Yeah.
If he wants
it's kind
a place
of already there, yeah.
Yeah, if he wants a place to hang a giant dragon's head after you've killed it, that's already happening in the cities. Like, I don't know what the other advantages would be, unless you want to build an entire gameplay layer underneath all of this to replace, say, guild achievements.
No,
guild
I think
achievements,
he wants trophies. Like, you have the you know, Onyxia's head, and it stays in your trophy holes the way they do in the garrisons now. Like, you can choose what you display. Mm-hmm. In our personal garrisons.
Sure.
I think out of it's very similar to personal garrisons, and out of the two, personal garrisons serve more people. And I don't think you could have both and both serve a different purpose.
Yeah.
So
I would agree. Well, there's that. Thanks for your calls. By the way, 801-471-0462 is the phone number. 801-471-0462. Keep them coming. You can also email us your attachments, audio attachments, and emails to theinstance@gmail.com. And that marketh the end of this episode. We're done. We never did see Terpster or Dill, so I hope those guys are all right. I'm sure they're fine.
Oh, you didn't hear him?
No.
He came by and he was like, hee hee, let's go to school.
He just popped in and said,
check it.
And then left. That was it.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
That's what happened.
He said that. Then what else did he say? He said that and then ran. And that was the end of that. That's too bad. Well,
Cho'Gall.
Missed you terribly.
Sorry, I didn't understand what you did. Did you mean
traitor Cho'Gall?
Damn it,
right,
Cho'Gall.
Right,
he said Cho'Gall. He starts O and then he gets A and then he gets O again.
What letter is used in that name? The second vowel. What is it? I wonder, Scott.
It is. Which one? The second part of this between the what do you call it?
between the G and the L.
Oh,
which letter is
it's
it?
It's an O. No, it's not.
What is it?
It's an A. I know it's an A.
Right.
But that's Thrall. You don't say Thrall, do you? Do you say Thrall? Do you say Bal?
Maybe.
Someone throw me the Bal. I need to make a basket a basket with the Bal. I'm telling you, man, I own this argument.
Well, all I can say and all I will say to you is that...
The work of that traitor Cho'Gall.
Cho'Gall.
Dueling soundboards, everybody. Right. Dueling soundboards.
No, but you know, it's... So I'm learning Swedish
to
get us on the last tangent.
Weird. What are you doing that for?
Well, my wife is Finnish Swede.
Oh, I thought she was just straight up Finnish. They have their own thing, don't they?
Oh, no. There's a minority in Finland. Finland is bilingual. They have 5% Swedes, but the Swedish is also an official language of the country.
Oh, all right.
So anyway, there you go. And so I'm learning Swedish, and there are different kinds of A's and O's, and like they have these weird space letters with little umlauts on top of them and yeah. round things, and they don't really hear, like when we say A and ah and ah, they have a much wider range of pronunciations. Between the A and O, there are like a million different ones, but they don't necessarily hear the difference between our pronunciations of some of them.
Mm.
My point is, I think it might be because of our language upbringing that we're not hearing those those letters pronounced in the same way for both of us. So what sounds to me like a clear ah might be sounding to you like a less clear like ah or something.
I see.
Right? Well, makes sense?
Yeah, makes sense. Okay. But I found some audio. This is Patrick in front of his mirror practicing his new Swedish dialect, which is very impressive. Three languages it'll be for Patrick, but this rare audio.
Four. I speak Japanese.
Oh, that's right. Give me something. Tell me something in Japanese. Tell me...
日本語で話しましょうか。
How about?
スコット・ジョンソンはそんなに面白い人じゃないと思うけど、まあ、The Instance Podcast は面白いかもしれない。
You make me ill. I don't know how you do this. Four languages? That's insane. That's crazy.
What happens?
What?
How it happens, I'm going to tell you something. All right. I'm going to tell you something.
This is like the great moment we're going to learn about your like Rosetta Stone secret. Okay, I'm ready.
Absolutely. It's something that most people don't really understand, but that is a kept secret of antiquity, and that until now hasn't been wildly known.
Okay.
In order to learn something, you study it. Yes, I know. All right. It's unbelievable.
Well, here's some rare. I have rare audio of you in your mirror learning Swedish. Here it is. Good job. Good job.
I think that is not
Swedish. It's not Swedish. It's Swiss, but it still makes me laugh. all right. Well, officially, we're done. That's it. Theinstance.net is our website, @instanceshow. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can also follow Patrick @notpatrick, me @ScottJohnson, Dills @WillyDills, Terpster @_T. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley. By the way, a little bit of news for you. If you go to theinstance.net, there is a link up at the top where it says extras. You click on that, and inside of there is all of the themes the show has ever had created by Matt, as well as a couple of bonuses. And some real nostalgia in there if you've been listening to the show for it's some 8 years now. Ooh, it's this month, too. I should have looked for 8-year anniversary. Weird. Anyway, you can go get the entirety of those musical selections right now, absolutely for free. It's just in one big zip full of MP3 files at theinstance.net. That's theinstance.net. Big thanks for our intern, Paul Swickard. He'll do the show notes for today's episode where all our links will be. You can find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for me and Patrick. For Terpster and Dills, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Chogal.
Chogal. And in Japanese, it would be Chogaru.
Ooh, Chogaru. Hey, fellers and ladies, looking for a way to support the Instance? Deciding that, man, you sure get a lot of free content and you'd like to give back a little bit? How about for as little as, say, $1 a month? Which, what else can you pay $1 a month for? Hardly anything. One song a month on iTunes? One app on the Google Play Store? I mean, geez. Just go to patreon.com/frogpants and help the Instance continue to thrive and survive. That's patreon.com/frogpants.
Because you know I'm all about my base, more missions. I'm all about my base, more buildings. I'm all about my base, more missions. I'm all about my base. Yeah, it's pretty clear, I love my garrison. I keep upgrading, grading that zigzag attitude. Cause I got these blueprints that all my friends need. I'm moving on up and I'm keeping busy. I'm at my garrison, working my orders out. I got a schedule wall, I got it written down. I got these duty duties and I can't stop. Cause every building's got me working from the bottom to the top. Yeah, my mama, she told me, don't worry about your fall. I'm all about my base, about my base. More missions, I'm all about my base, about my base. More buildings, I'm all about my base, about my base. More missions, I'm all about my base, about my base. Buy the builder swag. When you check garrisons, you won't go back. When I'm at work, I want that mobile app. Cause I love my garrison, every inch of it is perfect, like my little pleasure box. Yeah, my mama, she told me, don't worry about your fort. But she don't understand that I'm working to a report. You know, I barely stepped foot into the new lands of Draenor. Cause I've been chilling in my town hall with all my followers. Because you know I'm all about my base, about my base. More missions, I'm all about my base, about my base. More buildings, I'm all about my base, about my base. More missions, I'm all about my base, about my base. Because you know I'm all about my base, about my base. More missions, I'm all about my base, about my base. More buildings, I'm all about my base, about my base. More missions, I'm all about my base, about my base. Because you know I'm all about my base, about my base. More missions, I'm all about my base, about my base. More buildings, I'm all about my base, about my base. More missions, I'm all about my base, about my base.
Hey, Scott Dills, Terpster, and Patrick, Esterna Hill the Warlock again. On your last episode, you discussed the Proving Grounds and how they're another gate to make sure people are at least paying attention in Heroics. I've seen a few discussions between players who say their classes have disadvantages when it comes to the Proving Grounds, and they were having trouble advancing into Silver and Gold. Do you think it would be feasible for Blizzard to create class-specific quest lines to supplement the Proving Grounds? I've been playing a Warlock for 10 years now, but I learned a lot about my class just through doing the Green Fire quest in Black Temple last fall. We've not seen many of those types of class-specific quest lines, and I'm sure they're incredibly resource-intensive. The Green Fire quest was basically a one-man raid, and it was incredibly difficult, but it was also some of the most fun I've had in a challenge in quite a while. Do you think it would take too much time to complete something epic for each of WoW's classes? There are a lot of those classes, and I'm sure just doing the Proving Grounds for the three roles already took a lot of time. Thanks. Also, and you can cut this part if you'd like, but I actually am a fledgling newscaster. I just started at a local station in Kansas just over a year ago. Hearing you guys, hearing my role models, the people who inspired me to go into radio when I started listening to The Instance in 2008, hearing you guys tell me that I have a good radio voice gave me a huge confidence boost at a time when I needed it most. Thanks for everything you guys do.
Hey, Scott, Terpster, Dills, and Patrick. This is Chris or Norrin Rad of MacFaradon. I don't know what all the whining is about not making enough gold. I suck at making gold, but I had 11,400 gold before once I hit 100. All I did was sell a couple engineering items for like 3,500 gold apiece and sold every herb I had. And that was it. I kept all my ore. Created bars, created some armor with that, but that's all I did. I couldn't even sell the greens. I saved them for after I got 100 to disenchant them. But that's all I did, and I had 11,000 gold, and I'm no genius when it comes to the auction house. Love the show. Keep it up. Thanks.
This is Scorm, Undead Hunter from Naz Jatar. I've got the solution for this whole flying thing everyone keeps talking about. I know you said you wouldn't talk about it anymore, but I got the solution. What if you can only fly in sanctuary zones, and in contested areas you can fly into the zone, but when you land you can't mount back up. So you'd have to be in your garrison or in a major city to be able to mount your flying mount. And then you could fly across the zone, but when you hit the ground you'd be stuck on the ground and have to run to a flight path. I don't know. What do you think about that? I think this would essentially give us flying, but in a very limited sense. It would still force you to be in the world when you've got to where you want to go. But you wouldn't be able to jump down, gank someone, and take off. Because being able to fly down, gank someone, and take off again is essentially having stealth. And only certain classes are supposed to have stealth for a reason. That's a game balance issue. I think being able to only be able to fly into contested zones but not mount up again, only being able to mount up in like your major city and fly out of them, would be a solution to this problem. Anyways, if this makes it on the show, thanks, big fan. Talk to you guys later. Oh, and power to the French? Question mark.
Raiders have a ball, finding rules, loopholes. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. The new Kargath Partisans, a highly successful Horde raid team, is no stranger to controversy. Just a month ago, Nitrog Thundertower charged that the team had used a borderline illegal attack formation to defeat him, sending 3 DPS on top of the cars to drop down behind his turret. Their notoriety goes back several years when they were first charged with using videos taken by their overweight supervisor to prepare raid strategies. So few were surprised at the Partisans' latest stunt, where before facing Kargath Bladefist in the Highmaul Coliseum, they turned down the supply of gas, thereby deflating the radius of the flame jets and increasing their freedom of movement. ODN attempted to interview Tauren main tank Bull Bellow Chuckroast, but he simply glared at us and crushed a small animal skull into dust with his hands. We fared little better with their druid main healer, who turned into an apple tree and simply repeated, "I am fruit," as a mocking way of saying, "no comment." But partisan mage Tomberay Swiftarm simply laughed that annoying blood elf laugh, accused the other teams of jealousy, and said they couldn't handle the pressure of raiding. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Epic diapers.
I'm a filthy casual player, yet I have 23 followers over eye level 645, and the other two are at 630, and all 25 are epic. Yet I continually hear from players that are frustrated about their low chances at higher level missions, such as the Highmaul raid for eye level 655 gear, because of few followers they have at level 645, and the rest are barely off the mat from 600. Look, I log in only once or twice a day to do mission management, but aside from the add-ons of Garrison Manager and Master Plan as a great aid, I am obtaining virtually all of my follower enhancements from Big Crates of Salvage and the War Mill. If follower levels are important to you, you need to put in a salvage yard and War Mill and upgrade them to level 3. For every level 100 mission you complete, you get a big crate of salvage, and the War Mill processes garrison resources for metal scraps and follower enhancement items. In Patch 6.1, you will also be able to access a daily quest to trade in your Iron Horde scraps or the Alliance equivalent for follower equipment. I do raid normal level Highmaul, yet I have some great gear for missions that I can easily complete due to my army of high-level epic followers. You can follow me on Twitter at Epic Diapers or check out my blog at epicdiapers.com.
And remember, it's hard to balance the pew-pew with the poo-poo.
Welcome, students, to Monk Meditation. The show about monks in the world of Warcraft.
This week's lesson, proposed monody changes in 6.1. The patch notes for 6.1 PTR have hit, and there is one major change for Mistweavers, monody. It currently restores 4% of your maximum mana per tick, which is about 6,400 mana. The change would make it scale off of spirit, which is currently listed at 4 times your unbuffed spirit. What this means is you will need about 1,600 spirit unbuffed to reach the current amount. This value is obtainable with normal level Highmaul gear. As we enter Blackrock Foundry, the trinkets and other gear available will push us well past this mark. This is going to push the value of spirit through the roof, plus about 30 to 50% of the current weight according to Geodude, as more spirit means more mana return per monody, which means we can afford more expensive spells more often. What this does hurt, however, is challenge modes. Challenge mode gear will not be at the 1600 level, meaning less mana returned. For more monk discussion, visit monkmeditation.com to find all the ways to watch and listen to the podcast.
Thrunka, and welcome to Ask Miss Malgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what is the most appropriate use for awesome fish caught in Draenor? Along with ambushing members of the Alliance, fishing is an important part of an active outdoor lifestyle. It is a sport that teaches you many new skills. How to equip a fishing pole, how to use a lure, how not to lose your hooked fish while you beat off an attack with a fishing pole. Nat Pegel has suggested that awesome fish are best used for dancing. Apparently, you can dance with some fellow named Monty, who owns a large pet snake. Just start by slapping him in the face with your awesome fish. I know, this all sounds fishy to me. I am Miss Mogram, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mogram on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmogram.com. Thanks to Fremelda the Paladin from Dentarg for this week's question.
Chogal.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.